Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And welcome in. Dave Cohen along with Newell Norman. This is the final in a series of candidate interviews that we are doing ahead of the Saturday primary election. We had invited the candidates for mayor and sheriff in the New Orleans elections that polled 5% or more in the last two publicly released polls. And today we welcome in the frontrunner, mayoral candidate and city councilwoman Helena Moreno.
Hey, Dave. Hey, Newell. Great to be with y'all.
We are so happy
to have you
here.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Sure.
Who is Helena Moreno?
Where do you want me to begin, you know? So Helena is someone who cares so much about the people of New Orleans, cares so much about our city, and really put in a lot of preparation into making the decision to run for mayor. It's not a decision, Dave, that I took lightly. And it was a decision that I took so seriously because I knew that if I became mayor, all of a sudden the people of the city would become my number one priority. And to be a good mayor, you really have to be a 24/7 mayor. And so I'm just really blessed to have my husband, Chris. Newell, I know you know my husband, Chris. You've met him at events before. To have my husband, Chris, and my family so supportive of me with no hesitation to run for this seat, because I do know that it is a sacrifice. And because of their full support, I can fully go into this with extreme confidence that I can be that 24/7 mayor and put the people of the city first. You can't just show up on the job some days and not other days. And even when you're out of town, you have to still be on the job. And that's the type of mayor who you'll have in me.
There's been a lot of folks that have talked about the fact that your role as being the president of the council and otherwise, that there was this chaos that they say was created as a result of that. I would love for you to address that.
No, I think the people of the city of New Orleans understand why there was chaos. And it has to do with lack of leadership from the executive branch. And I am grateful to have been part of this New Orleans City Council, who constantly worked on accountability. And let me be very clear. I will never apologize for fighting for the people of this city. And when the executive did not show up, then it was time for the council to step up and fight, whether it was the school board settlement money, whether it was for the people of Gordon Plaza, whether it was for the charity hospital deal, whether it was for the power complex being paid for with federal grant dollars instead of ratepayer increases. Time after time after time, it's been the council that has stood up. And so, look, I get it that that's a talking point, that's an attack, but the people of New Orleans know the truth and they know where the chaos came from.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked about that a lot on my show because I you know, haven't been an elected official. I know what it's like. I know what leadership looks like, and I know what it doesn't look like, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a time element. And y'all can't just sit around and not take action because things have to happen. It requires and it demands a response.
And I think, Newell, what is important to also mention is that time after time, the council did try to get in a room and did try to figure out a path. Let's just even go back to Wisner. During Wisner, when myself and Councilmember Druso, during our first term, were, and even bringing in Councilmember Palmer at that time, when we were trying to get that hashed out and figured out, we were just pushed to the side and pushed to the side. Now comes our second term, and now the new council comes in. Once again, pushed to the side and pushed to the side. Finally, we said, enough of this. It's unfortunately, that's when we had to go to court. And so many different instances are the same, including, and probably the most glaring example, has to do with the school board settlement dollars. I want to remind everyone that with the school board settlement dollars, we even had a news conference together. We were even council members, along with the CAO, who is a representative for the mayor, along with school board members, all of us together announcing that this deal had happened. And then all of a sudden, the mayor is like, oh, wait, never mind. I never knew about this or whatever happened. I'm not quite sure. And then it's like, there's no deal. And then we had to go to court. So I just want to let the public know that it hasn't just been like, oh, the council just wants to fight. We have tried to work together, and it's only during the times when the people's best interest wasn't being served by the executive that the council had to fight on behalf of the people of the city.
Do you envision, if you're elected mayor, that these discussions will happen in conference rooms, not courtrooms?
Yeah, I do. And I actually really look forward, Dave, to working with the upcoming city council. And I've seen how mayors can work really well with their legislators and also with different council members. I mean, I was a state legislator who was able to work very well with a mayor because we would get into a room and the mayor would bring all legislators together or council members together and figure out exactly what the priorities were of each one of the different state or city legislators and then help them achieve those goals. Because ultimately, as I help my New Orleans City Council members achieve the goals that they really have for their districts or different initiatives, even citywide, ultimately, that not only makes their districts look good and enhances the city as a whole, but it makes me as the mayor look good as well. And so that's a type of communication and relationship that I plan on having with the upcoming New Orleans City Council. And I'll say this, I mean, it's just it just really has been disappointing over the past several years that council members haven't been able to have that kind of relationship with this mayor, mm-hmm. because it just has seemed like there was this, it was like we were trying to partner and instead we were looked at as competitors, and it wasn't ever a competition. It wasn't ever trying to one up. It was about how do we move our city forward? And I don't care whose idea it is, whether it's someone on my team or someone on the council's team or a council member. If it's good for the city, let's go and move forward with it. And I don't care who gets credit, because ultimately our goals as elected leaders is to advance the city of New Orleans and to serve the people of the city.
One of the things that I've noticed about, and you've pointed out some differences between Orleans and Jefferson. And in Jefferson Parish, the structure is a little different. The council really is the body, and the parish president is not. But the parish president is there at every council meeting. Mm-hmm. And it just seems like it helps foster that environment of open communication, collaboration. I know that the mayor was there the other day. Mm-hmm. I hadn't seen her there in a long time. You probably could tell me how many times she's been there. It's not been a lot over the years. What's your approach going to be like?
My approach is to ensure that there is a constant presence from the mayor's office, whether it's me or whether it's someone on my team who's there at all of the different council meetings. And actually, that's what we've seen with previous mayors, whether it's the CAO, members of the CAO team, not just someone from IGR who's like monitoring the meeting. You can go monitor the meeting in your office.
Right.
But it's really about someone who is there and present, willing to engage with the council whenever necessary. And so that's what you'll have from me. But I'll say this, I do think that the city council has put in place some decent checks and balances that are a bit similar to Jefferson, one of them having to be with the confirmation process of city department heads. And I actually really look forward to having my department heads go through the confirmation process, because it immediately starts the relationship of department heads, not just having an in, obviously, with the mayor, but having a relationship with the council members as well. So it starts to grow that relationship and that dialogue immediately, and then obviously go through the confirmation process. And I appreciate having an extra set of eyes on those who I'll push forward through the confirmation process. But also, it'll give me the opportunity to also highlight the people who I'm bringing in, so that people can really see their expertise and why I think that they're the best for each specific department.
What I like about that process is you're really selling your appointment.
100%. Yes.
Your appointments,
yes.
Right? And so you have to firmly believe in it. Had that process been set up early on in this administration, I'm not sure half of these people would have been confirmed.
Yeah.
I'm not asking you for
No, I know you're not asking me to look back at that. But what I am excited to showcase in my department heads is that people really can certainly see that they will have expertise in the area that they will be leading. Because so often that has been the question, whether or not specific people who are department heads actually really had the true expertise to be leading some of these departments.
One of the other big challenges that y'all have had is the role of the city attorney.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I am one that believes that there are inherent conflicts there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How will you handle that city attorney role, and what safeguards or guardrails are you considering, or if you're considering any at all, to kind of make that process a lot easier than what it is right now? Because from the outside looking in, it looks like it's totally run amok.
Yeah.
And for those who haven't been following it, the debate and the discussion has been, to whom does the city attorney report and for whom do they work? The mayor's position has been that the city attorney represents the executive branch mm-hmm. only and is there to protect the executive branch. The question is that accurate? Should the city attorney also work on behalf of the city council?
So as you all are probably aware, the city attorney is supposed to work on behalf of the city of New Orleans on the best interest of the city of New Orleans and not take a side of the city council or of the mayor. And over the years, we have had some good city attorneys who have acted in that role appropriately. Unfortunately, over the past several years, what we have seen is that this mayor has used the city attorney and the office of the city attorney as, her own kind of personal legal representation, which obviously the council has had major objections to, so much so that a few years ago, and I can't remember if it was in my first or in my second term, that we moved forward to hiring for the city council its own executive council, and that is Adam Swensick, who we hired years ago to represent us in cases, because we felt like we were always kind of being shut out and our side was never really being represented, particularly since we were getting at odds with the mayor. And so moving forward, what the council is now advancing is ensuring that if a city attorney is terminated by the mayor, that it can be appealed to the city council. That therefore, it's not just, hey, if you don't do what I tell you, I'm going to fire you. Wait a second. Actually, to better ensure that the city attorney is representing the city, there is a check and balance that it's like, wait a second. Just because the city attorney didn't do what the mayor wanted, the city attorney was serving the best interests of the city. Therefore, you can appeal that termination to the council, and the council can ensure that you keep your job. So it's just another added step to try to ensure that we have city attorneys who are working on behalf of the people of the city and on behalf of the city of New Orleans. And like I said, as I started talking about this, that we have had city attorneys that very much ensured that was their role and they did their job very well that way. It's just that we do now have to add protections to make sure that there is that everything's going the way that it should be.
So a city attorney would not only have to be vetted and approved to be hired, but they would also almost have to be approved to be fired.
You got it. Exactly.
As well. We're talking with Helena Moreno, the front runner in the race for mayor of New Orleans. As the front runner from very early on in this race until today, obviously she is the one that those who want to get into the runoff with her are attacking. We'll talk about some of those attacks that are flying her way. Newell already mentioned the chaos accusation. We'll look at some of the other accusations and let her respond to them after this on WWL.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And we're talking with Helena Moreno as we wrap up our interviews with mayoral candidates ahead of Saturday's election here in New Orleans. Councilwoman, one of the attacks, and obviously you're getting more attacks than any other candidate because you have a chance to win this in the primary. All poll after poll has shown that. Almost since the day you entered the race until now, we'll find out Saturday if that happens, but you're getting attacked more than others because if they want a chance, they've got to keep you from winning in the primary. One of the earliest attacks that we saw coming from the DuPlessis camp was accusing you of being part of the problem, not the solution, during your 8 years on the city council, followed by the statement that Royce DuPlessis is one of us, indicating that the viewer should believe you are not one of us. Mm-hmm. How do you respond to him accusing you of being part of the problem and all but saying you're not one of us?
Well, first, you know, I think that kind of goes to the question that Newell had just a few minutes ago about, you know, trying to blame me for the dysfunction or whatever that I think that is coming, an accusation coming from the DuPlessis campaign. And obviously, I think it's very clear, once again, that people know where as far as leadership goes, that the problems were coming from the executive, and the fact that the mayor was so incredibly absent that led to much of the dysfunction and lack of leadership at the top trickled all the way through City Hall, which ultimately led to what you're seeing as far as city services. And so I think that the people of the city certainly understand that. But what's interesting is to see that, you know, my opponents aren't really ever pointing the finger at the mayor. They're just pointing the finger at me, obviously, because I'm one of their opponents. So it's that's the route that they're trying to take, just because it's political time. But I do find it interesting that they really don't try to really point blame where the blame really is to be going, which I think it's a little interesting. But as far as, you know, who Helena is and what Helena has worked for, Helena has always been about the people of the city and serving the people of New Orleans. And every time that I've been called out to help with issues that people did not want to take on, whether it's helping the people of Gordon Plaza, guess who showed up? Helena showed up. And Helena's the one who made sure that the people of Gordon Plaza finally received the money that they deserved, and that they were moved off of that toxic land. The folks who are living,
and that was a tragic process.
It was a tragic. Let me tell you,
it was one that went on too long.
Let me tell you, it went on, for really decades. And ultimately, when residents really started coming to the city council and begging for help, I just couldn't turn my back on them. And honestly, during my first term, kept going to the administration, like, why don't we just help them? There was always such a resistance. But, you know, I stood up and I pushed forward and you know, I appreciate, you know, the residents of Gordon Plaza, like, sticking with me and being part of this fight, because we finally got it done and pushed it all the way through. I mean, same goes whether we're talking about even initiatives that people thought would never get done. I remember after Hurricane Ida, when we were talking about storm hardening initiatives, and everyone saying, if we're going to do storm hardening initiatives, that is going to have to be all on the backs of ratepayers. And I said, no, I know that there can be another way. Well, guess what? I found another way. I found another way by putting in place to cover these costs federal grants, by putting in place credits from settlement dollars to cover these enhancements. And now we have $200 million worth of storm hardening initiatives that are moving forward. So Helena has always been about us, the people of the city. And that's what I'll always continue to be.
Now, Duplessis never came out and said what he meant by saying Royce is one of us after talking about you. I don't know if he meant you weren't born in the United States. You were born in Mexico. I don't know if he meant you're not black. I don't know if he meant you are not a New Orleanian. Are you one of us in whatever one of us means?
The city of New Orleans is the only place that I've ever been able to call home. And the reason why I say that is because until I came to the city of New Orleans at roughly the age of like 22 years old, I'd lived in many other cities, including, yes, a foreign country, because I was born in Mexico. And yes, Spanish is my first language. Sí, todavía puedo hablar español. I speak Spanish fluently. And so, you know, I just think it's this level of divisive politics that is being inserted into the mayor's race, that is what they are trying to use to beat me. Certainly, you really can't attack my record, because I have such a record of accomplishment. You can't attack me for not being a fighter for the people, because there's one example after the next that is what I do. You can't attack me on my ethics. And so, therefore, you're going to use divisive tactics to try to separate our community. But what I've always been is a leader who unites us. And when I become mayor, whether you supported me or whether you didn't, I'm about bringing our entire city together, because there's too many forces outside of us trying to divide everything, that we need to be a united city as we move forward to really get everything that we want our city to be.
Speaking of divisive politics, mm-hmm. The most recent ads accuse you of missing 60% of city council budget committee meetings, whether you were on the budget committee or not, and of blocking black-owned businesses from city contracts more than other business, other non-black owned businesses.
So here's what's so interesting. There have been legislative items that have moved through the city council to enhance and support Black-owned businesses here in the city of New Orleans and to enhance Black participation with city contracting in the city of New Orleans. Over the past 8 years, guess who has led all of those initiatives? I have. And I did that in partnership with the Collaborative, which is why the leadership of the Collaborative, which is a group that advocates for Black-owned small businesses, is strongly supporting me, which is why I have people like civil rights activist Barbara Major strongly supporting me because she worked hand in hand with me on these issues. So while I appreciate that they're trying to now distort facts and distort my record, the truth is that it's always been Helena who's been standing up and doing the hard work. And when people wanted to get things done, yeah, sure, they may have gone to other people, but ultimately they came to me and said, will you please come and partner with us? You know why? Because Helena gets the job done. And that's what people are looking for in their next mayor. They're sick and tired of people who are just talking and, you know, going to the opening of a door practically, you know, and not really getting anything done. They're sick and tired. Like, it's time for us to get the city in shape. It's time to get the city in order. People want a mayor who's going to get things done. And they know that that's what Helena's always been, and that's what I'll be as your mayor.
Being this former CFO, being a tax collector in my former life, and really understanding the financing of government, which can be difficult for some, I look at the city's budget and I'm just very curious because there are a lot of things that need to be financed in the general fund, and it seems to me that we may not be appropriately sized, that we may be drawing too many dollars from our sources of revenue, and half the budget is federal and state grants.
Yeah.
And you know, being subsidized by someone else. People got a little angry with me when I said we have a can-shaking mentality in the city of New Orleans, that our whole livelihood is dependent upon what we're going to get from other people, as opposed to how we spend and utilize the dollars in our tax base. So first question, do you think city government is right-sized?
Do I think it's right-sized? No, I actually think that we have a lot of bloat in city government. And what do I mean by that? I certainly think that we are outsourcing a lot of work we don't need to outsource, and that's actually costing us a lot more. We also do so many, you know, kind of unnecessary types of consulting work. Like, for example, there's a $2 million study right now to determine whether or not to bring a grocery store to New Orleans East.
What?
Yes. So, I mean, and then not to mention, you know, there are also—
I mean, is that controversial in the East?
Well, here's the deal. I really think that a way that you figure that out is you call different real estate brokers and you call the different grocers and you say, what does it take to bring a grocery store here? So I was able to do that and figure out the process to get that done and do it for free. So the other piece, too, is that, you know, you also have studies that we have done and that are really good concrete studies. Like, we did this big green easy plan to figure out the best approach for Nord, and none of the things in that plan were implemented. And so even the things that are actually right and rightly done by consultants, we're not even actually moving forward with the work that needs to happen. But your question is really about right sizing. And what I see is there's actually a lot of bloat at the top. And so there are leadership positions, appointed leadership positions, that I don't think are necessary. And there are some who are also being paid a lot of money. And what I would like to do is, you know, figure out a path to actually have the right people in place and not so many high paid leadership spots that aren't necessarily providing the necessary benefit to the people of the city. The other piece, too, is that we have to align the people's priorities with what's happening at City Hall. And what I believe the people's priorities are obviously DPW, making sure that you have a real street maintenance program. We outsource so much of that, Newell. If we actually did what Jefferson Parish did, where you had, you know, about 100 people working within DPW on constant street maintenance, that's actually going to save you than trying to contract a lot of that work out. Revamping safety and permits, making sure that you have a workable safety and permits department, really ensuring that you have a robust economic development department. And then there's a lot of other stuff that's happening within City Hall that maybe doesn't need the level of budget that it's currently getting. And so, look, if you know, things go well for us and we're able to get our supporters to understand that on Saturday, no one can sit this out. If you really want change, if you really want a new direction for our city, you can't afford to sit it out on Saturday. And if our support comes out and we're lucky enough to be victorious on Saturday, I look forward to start working with this city council right now to start setting up the right budget that I would need as mayor and the right reorganization so that we can start moving in the right direction now and not have to wait for different budget adjustments right after I get in, which can be a little bit more tricky and complicated.
What's your confidence level on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most, as it relates to the status of the budget today? I mean, I just find it incredulous that we can't figure out the amount of a deficit that we're running.
Yeah, we hear $65 million, $100 million, $150 million deficit in the budget.
And remember, you'll have this, imagine being on the city council and you have a table in front of you with different people from the same administration giving you different numbers, which is the reason why I decided to bring in Mike Wagesback, who's the state legislative auditor. And so I called.
And you've been criticized for that.
I
went on air and said it's a brilliant move because if none of these folks can figure it out, we need an independent third party to come in who's a state actor.
Right.
And he has that responsibility to come in and take a look-see.
And not to mention it's also free.
It's free.
And it's free. And so, look.
By the way, that's
how I feel also. But remember, Newell, we're also at a point right now where I'm being criticized for everything. You know, I'm probably getting criticized with what I'll order for lunch today. Okay? That's the point in the
what
election
are you
where
ordering
we are. I haven't even decided, but whatever I decide, I'm sure someone will tell me that it's wrong.
As the front runner, that's what you get.
Exactly. No, but so I called Mike Wagesback and I was like, look, you know, this is what we're hearing from the CFO. Here's what we're hearing from the CAO. Can you help us figure out what's really happening? And he's like, you know what, Helena? Absolutely. I'll bring my whole team down there. And that's when I filed the resolution. All members of the city council co-authored it with me. The legislative auditor has been here with his team. They've been in the finance department. They've been with the CAO. They're trying to get a handle on what's happening with this current year budget, but also taking a look to see what potentially we could be looking at for next year as well, because from what I remember from the REC presentation for next year's budget projections, they said we're like $20 million short. But the other piece too, as we work to really kind of right size the budget, I've been talking to Chief Kirkpatrick a lot about police overtime. And she is working on, and I don't want to, you know, explain her plan. She can explain it for herself. But she is working on some things now that she thinks will be able to get a better handle on overtime and allow for the city council to have better projections moving forward as well. Because that seems to be one of the reasons that kind of busted things.
I can tell you, Sheriff, every chief's meeting, every staff meeting, which occurred twice a month, that was the topic of conversation, was managing overtime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if you let overtime run amok,
you
never get it back.
Sure.
You know, and you got to keep your finger on the pulse of overtime all the time.
Yeah.
We're talking with Helena Moreno as we wrap up our interviews with mayoral candidates ahead of Saturday's election. She mentioned the police chief. Does she want to keep Ann Kirkpatrick as the chief? We'll ask her that and what her plan is for public safety, along with a few other questions, including the city's headed in the wrong direction. That's overwhelmingly how New Orleanians feel right now. We'll ask Helena Moreno about that as well. I'm Dave Cohen, along with Newell Normand on WW.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Well, we're talking with Helena Moreno as we wrap up our interviews with candidates for mayor of New Orleans. You mentioned the police chief, Ann Kirkpatrick. Would you be inclined, if elected mayor of New Orleans, to keep her running the NOPD? She's already said she'd like to stay.
Yes, I would. And I've had conversations with the chief about that. And I'll just, you know, tell you that I really have appreciated working with Chief Kirkpatrick. I have found her to be a collaborator. I have found her someone to be very honest. She's going to tell you, you know, not what you want to hear, but what you need to know as an elected leader. And, you know, I appreciate that. I also think that she has made some good reforms within the NOPD. And, you know, when she and I had discussions about, you know, her willingness to stay, what I also did ask her is that, you know, obviously I don't know how long she would want to stay, but I did ask her that if she did at one point decide that she would be, you know, exiting, that she would help me find that right next leader. And I know that she is also someone who is about bringing up others in leadership and very strong in training up leaders, which I appreciate because that's what's really important to build a strong and reputable department.
And she seems to be popular amongst the rank and file. And I think in the last survey of elected officials or appointed officials' approval ratings, I think she was the most highly approved official in the city of New Orleans. So people like her. What we haven't found from the electorate is a feeling that the city is doing well right now. Mm-hmm. Only 22% of people in this most recent UNO survey said New Orleans was headed in the right direction.
Yeah.
Do you think New Orleans is headed in the right direction? And how can you turn that around if not, or either way, to get the rest of the city of New Orleans feeling like the city's headed in the right place?
I do not feel like the city's been headed in the right direction because I really haven't felt the urgency from the executive leadership to chip away at our persistent problems, and which is why I've always been saying that it's like we need change, we need a new direction, we need to start working with urgency and collaboration. And the thing is, what's so frustrating, Dave, is that we know that it can be done. We know it can be done because we saw it done during Super Bowl. During Super Bowl, and this was, by the way, at the directive of the mayor. She said, every city department, you have to meet every week with all of our outside stakeholders, with GNO Inc., with state, you know, government, with Entergy, you name it, to troubleshoot the issues across the city, whether it was lights not working, whether it was certain street projects that needed to be done quickly, whether it was a public safety issue. And these issues were troubleshot, and we were ready for Super Bowl. But then once Super Bowl ended, you know, it went back to kind of business as usual, and then the lack of communication with departments and the lack of urgency lacking. And so with me as mayor, that Super Bowl level of coordination will be the standard, not just when Taylor Swift or the Super Bowl is coming, but all the time, because that's actually what the people of New Orleans deserve. And that's actually not something that is so out of the norm. That's what functioning parishes do. That's what other parishes do. That level of communication, and department heads will tell you that it's just not there. That level of urgency is just not there. And that is what I'll bring, that level of service and urgency, coordination and collaboration all the time.
What do you think is the most important issue right now facing the city?
The most important issue facing our city right now is that it's too hard to live here, and people are leaving New Orleans. It's just, it's whether it's lack of opportunity, whether it's affordability, whether it's just your basic services, it's like, it's just too hard to live here. I mean, I got a text from someone yesterday who last night, apparently somebody in a stolen car, was going really fast down the street and hit his car and hit other people's cars and, you know, huge wreck in the middle of the street. Thankfully, no one was seriously injured. But he was like, oh, my gosh, my car has been hit twice before. And now this has happened. It's like, Helene, my kids are in school here and I want to stay here. But this city is pushing me out. We have to have the right leadership in place so that we can start changing the trajectory. And I certainly understand that the people of New Orleans can manage their expectations. They know that when I get hopefully elected on Saturday, hopefully, that I won't be able to change things immediately, you know, in January.
Right.
But what they do expect is to have someone every single day coming to work with a team every single day coming to work, chipping away at these issues, seeing that work, that progress happening so that we can build and build and build on it every single day. And unfortunately, that's not what they're seeing right now. And so they're seeing their city council be their loud advocates, but the administration responsible for operations of the city, responsible for implementation, is just not getting the job done.
And people are speaking clearly by leaving.
Yes.
After steady growth in the aftermath of Katrina, the population of the city of New Orleans plateaued, and now it is falling. More people are leaving than coming here now. We've just seen that two of the largest office buildings, including the largest one in New Orleans, are both in default at this point. So we're seeing problems with residents leaving, with businesses not coming, with an overall feeling of the vast majority that the city's headed in the wrong direction. That is a major challenge to turn around what are very serious problems if you want to have a bright future.
Yes.
So day one, how do you start turning that around and paint a picture of going forward, what the future looks like in New Orleans, where you do have somewhere where people want to stay and not leave, people want to move in and not out, and businesses want to call home?
Yeah. So let me just start by saying that we are to the point now where we are a city with one of the fastest shrinking populations in the country right now. That's how quickly we're losing people. So within my first 100 days, I have to be laser focused on getting our basic services right. I get it that everyone's going to want everything all at once, but I have to be laser focused on getting our basic services right, meaning getting a street maintenance program really working and being effective so that we are not just riddled with potholes everywhere you go. Traffic lights that work, street lights that we have a real asset management system for street lights, basic services, drainage, making sure that our catch basins are getting cleaned, focusing on that. And then focusing really on two broken city departments. One is safety and permits, which is right now a complete barrier to any type of development, any type of progress in our city. Even if you want to open a business in the city of New Orleans to try to get your occupational permit, that alone takes way too long. So starting the revamp of safety and permits, which I know that I can do and create some changes within 3 months, with a whole revamp within a year to 15 months. And then also working with DPW, finally getting DPW to stop outsourcing things we don't need to be outsourcing and bringing more things in-house. And then we have to create the opportunity piece. And that opportunity piece really comes with creating a robust economic development department. Our economic development department is very small and mostly only deals with real estate transactions in the downtown area. We need to expand that footprint. We need to expand that footprint to ensure that we are providing to our entrepreneurs here in our city the connections to capital so that we can start to diversify our economy. That's what other cities did. They started to lean in to help their entrepreneurs. We need to have an economic development department that's also helping our small businesses, because right now our small businesses have no one to turn to as far as any type of concierge service within City Hall to assist them with a variety of different issues. And we have to have an economic development department that really leans in and focuses in on underserved areas like New Orleans East, where there actually is so much opportunity, but there's been such a lack of focus. And so there needs to be that focus on retaining businesses and recruiting new businesses to New Orleans East, particularly with the port project happening in St. Bernard. New Orleans East right now is ripe for opportunity. And I can tell you that Slidell's working hard to recruit new businesses. But right now, we don't have a team that's actively recruiting to bring new businesses to New Orleans East.
And the real irony, when you have a shrinking population, mm-hmm. there is an opportunity there because it's less stress on your city services from an operational standpoint. It's a greater stress financially, but we're an operational mess, as you just articulated.
Yes.
What you articulated was an operational mess.
Yes.
And it's a lot easier if you're servicing less people. Right now, I was telling this story to someone the other day. They thought I was crazy. I said, I'm telling you, it's easier because you have less people that you have to serve. Now, you don't have a lot of time.
Right.
You want to get it right sooner rather than later so you can start the allure for people to come back.
But Newell, that's why I constantly say, and I'm always going to be honest with the people of New Orleans, why I need to manage people's expectations from when I get into office.
Mm-hmm.
Because yes, everyone will want all things at once. And in fact, that's one of the things that has kind of happened with this city government, is that all these other things that people wanted are being done, and this administration lost sight of basic city services. And so that's why I have to refocus everything and immediately start being just laser pinpointing our issues on basic services, getting those reset, getting those right, and then people in the city will start to boost their confidence, and the whole morale, the whole vibe of the city, I'm telling you, will change.
And making sure you have a real budget to provide those
and
services.
That too. Yes.
You know what it actually says.
Yes.
How much your
that part. Yes.
Deficit may or may not be. All right, we're going to come back after this and give Helena Moreno an opportunity to address anything we haven't asked her about as we wrap up our mayoral interviews here on WWL. And now we have about a minute and a half left for Helena Moreno to share anything else that we maybe haven't asked you about that you want to share with the audience here, as we are now just 2 days away from the primary election.
Wow, that's amazing. Yes. Thank you both for having me today. I appreciate being able to be with you today. I'll just say this. You know, for people out there listening who are just seeing New Orleans as a broken city, I'm asking you to just hang on. Hang on, because I actually don't see a broken city. I see a city with so much opportunity right now. So much opportunity, and I see the solutions to some of our more persistent problems. So I'm just asking you to hold on. I'm also asking you to vote. If you are really looking for a new direction, if you really do want change in our city, that is what I offer, and I look forward to work every single day urgently to get things done. But no one can sit out the election on Saturday. If you're supporting change, if you're supporting a new direction, well, I need you to press that button. And so with that, you know, I look forward to Election Day on Saturday, and I hope that we can start making the necessary changes for our beautiful city and make it the New Orleans that we all want it to be.
Do you like your chances of being able to not have to do this for another month, of winning in the primary?
Look, you know, I mean, we've been working really hard, and I'm hoping that those who have supported us along the way get out there and vote. And if they get out there and do their job, we should have a good day.
Helena Moreno, thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and best of luck to you.
Thank you so much.
Newell, this wraps up our interviews with the candidates. Royce Duplessis chose not to join us for an interview here on WWL. Again, we invited every candidate in the mayor's and sheriff's race that polled 5% or more. And we were not given an explanation. Obviously, for whatever reason, he thought it was better for him not to appear. I personally would have liked the opportunity to talk to him.
Yep. I would call it odd.
All right. I'll be back at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning. Newell, you'll be back at 10 tomorrow?
Yep.
And folks, yeah, Election Day is Saturday.
Get out and vote.
Absolutely. No matter who you support, no matter how you feel, please exercise your right to vote.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.